Hello, I'm Elena, and welcome to the Census-Based Learning Podcast. In this podcast, we talk about exercises, trainings, courses, and general experiences that have to do with training our senses. Today, in the following several episodes, we'll be discussing the experience of Sisters Hope Home. Now, what is Sisters Hope Home? A short answer to that would be that it is an art performance that you get to live in for several days or weeks. But the longer answer is more interesting, so let's get into that. The journey started with Sisters Hope, an idea sparked in the mind of two kindred spirits, the sisters Grevor Hallberg and Anna Levitz, that developed later on into a series of traveling performances, an artistic movement, and eventually into Sisters Hope Home, which is a five-year-long art performance situated in Copenhagen, Denmark, where the project originates from. To quote their website, the work of Sisters Hope unfolds at the intersection of immersion, intervention, activism, research, and pedagogy, end quote. Their work has been demonstrated and implemented across communities, in schools and learning spaces, and it's also heavily based on academic research. One of the founders of the Sisters Hope, Gri, wrote a PhD about the project and its goals. The PhD was then published as a book, and it's called Sensuous Society: Carving the Path Towards a Sustainable Future. The senses are a big part of Sisters Hope. Their main goal includes tapping into your senses and learning to trust and rely on them, unlike we've been doing for so long. The sisters' performance method, which is what was demonstrated to us when we were there, included the discovery of one's poetic self. I'll get more into this a bit later on in the series. Essentially, the immersive experience is called inhabitation and takes you away from your regular life, away from technology and distractions, to discover your poetic self and connect with the people you are in the home with. To quote them again, during the stay, the inhabitants will cook, eat, sleep, and live close together with the sister staff in a potential future world, sensuous society, where everything is based on the principles of the sensuous and poetic, end quote. It sounds a bit culty, I know. And it kind of was, but the experience and the impact were not to be trifled with. So how did I end up in the Sisters Hope Home? If you haven't listened to the introduction episode where I talk about the census-based learning project, what we do and what we aim for, I suggest going back and listening to that just so you know where I'm coming from. But essentially, several people from the census-based learning project are also involved with the Census Squared project. This latter has the same goals as our project, but while our project is focused on university students, the Census Squared is focused on younger kindergarten and school children. The Sisters Hope Home was a common interest of ours since it has to do with the census and education, so when they decided to go to Denmark to inhabit the home, I was able to tag along. And for the next episodes, I will be talking about my experience in the 4-day inhabitation at the Sisters Hope Home. And at some point, I will also be joined by my colleagues who will share their experience as well, because at certain points they had completely different experiences than me. So make sure to tag along because it was a wild and heavily memorable experience. Before we even made our way to Denmark, the experience started off strange. We all got an instruction letter on what we were allowed to bring to the house. This list included strictly black and white pieces of clothing, including underwear, that had no visible brands on them. The tops had to be white and the bottoms had to be black. The no visible brands bit was quite important to them, to the point where even our toiletries were meant to be debranded. We would not be allowed to use any electronic devices during our stay and were told to talk and walk slowly and in soft tones. I hear it too. It sounds very culty. We were also instructed to fill out a questionnaire on what our state of mind was before entering the house. We would be given notebooks at the house and were instructed to take notes of our experiences. These notebooks would later be given back to the home. So let's get into day one. I'm going to provide a bit more detail to the entrance into the house, just so we can get on the page of what this experience was all about, essentially. Aside from the two members of our party of eight, who were supposed to arrive a day later, all of us arrived at the house at roughly the same time. We were met by Nikolai Fri Rasmussen, the executive director of Sisters Hope, and after a brief chat in the garden, we were instructed to enter the house in pairs. The first thing I saw was complete darkness. Okay, I'm being dramatic. It wasn't complete, but there was barely any light in the entrance room when I stepped in, and the contrast entering from a sunny afternoon into a dark, barely lit room had an immediate disorienting effect. The room in question was a long hallway that had the windows covered so that no natural light would get in. Later, it became apparent that this was kind of a theme in the entire house. The lighting, as well as the walls and carpeting in the entrance hall, was entirely red, another theme you'll notice moving forward. There was a round mirror at the end of the hallway that had red light shining from behind it, giving it this kind of halo effect. The color of the room wasn't the only thing that caught my attention. In front of me was a reception desk with very old-school decorative pieces on it, like a very old-looking lamp and a typewriter, and behind this desk sat a very peculiar lady. She was dressed in a Victorian-esque dress with long gloves, and she was motioning us to be quiet. Immediately, this was difficult to do since we're so accustomed to greeting each other vocally. It took a few muttered words until I was able to let there be silence. After handing in the questionnaire and taking off my shoes, I was led to a waiting room, which was already occupied by two of my colleagues who had entered beforehand. But they weren't just sitting and waiting. They were also blindfolded. I was also given a blindfold and instructed to put it on. And when I did, only then did I notice that there was elevator-type music playing in the background. The sort you'd hear in movies that took place on a beach. To give you an example, Blue Velvet by Bobby Vinton was one of the songs that played. We sat there in silence for a long time. Now and then, a nervous laugh would bubble up since the situation was quite bizarre and my mind needed a way to de-stress in a way. I could feel my colleague's shoulder pressed up against my own, and the warmth gave me comfort as the time stretched into unknown length. After quite a while of sitting in silence, I was suddenly gently motioned to get up and follow the hands that were leading me into another room. I was still blindfolded, mind you. With each step, I needed to rely on the person leading me to give control of my own directionality, to put trust in the stranger that they didn't let me fall or bump into something. Very intimate feeling to develop for a complete stranger. Usually these kinds of exercises come with people you trust. In this room that I entered was another person. Of course, I couldn't see them because I was still blindfolded. All communication between us three happened through touch. I touched their hands. Then I touched a round item that I realized was a water pitcher and had my hands dipped into the water. A kind of ritual hand-washing ceremony, I guess. And I was touching the hands of this other person, and we were holding these small cold items that after a moment I realized were shells. We moved these shells from one hand to the other, touching each other and the object, our hands still partially wet. The touches were slow and gentle. It was so strange to be so intimate with a person I couldn't even see, let alone know. But after a few minutes, the movements we were making became familiar, the touch no longer uncomfortable. And as we were led out of the room, I already felt that my senses were amplified. Not just because I couldn't see, therefore my other senses had to compromise, but because I had put trust into my senses and the senses of the two people with me, and this familiarity was created that dissolved my discomfort of this unfamiliar space and circumstance. It was also so amazing that I knew exactly what items were handed to me, even though I couldn't see anything. The power of touch. But on that note, I'll end this episode, since it's getting quite long already. But tune into the next one, where I'll be talking about the rest of my experience of the first day and the days that came after. If you're interested in finding out more about the Sisters Hope Home, their website is linked in the description. And if you want to learn more about the census-based learning project, check out our website, where you can find our manifesto, extensive bibliography on topics of the census, updates, and other information. Thanks for tagging along. See you in the next one.